When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Earth 911's Sustainability in Your Ear, the podcast conversation with a changemaker working to accelerate the transition to a sustainable carbon-neutral society. I'm your host, Mitch Ratcliffe. Well, the holiday season is upon us. You may be visiting family or hosting them. Either way, the table will be crowded with people and food. It's one of the most wasteful times of the year, especially when it comes to food. Americans toss more than a third of the produce and other forms of food that we grow each year. Erin Levine is our guest today. She's the resource recovery manager at WorldCentric, which is a maker of compostable packaging and tableware. Erin returns to the show to share ideas about a low-waste holiday season and to talk about the evolution of composting in California. She last talked with us in March when the state's mandatory composting law, SB 1383, or as it's better known, or perhaps less known, short-lived climate pollutant reduction strategy. SB 1383 had just been put into practice in March. We'll get an update about progress in the state, how it's changing the options for Californians, and progress toward a clear definition of what's compostable. Erin recently contributed an article to Earth 911 called Tips for Planning a Sustainable Holiday Meal, and we'll explore some of the ideas she shared to reduce waste and leftover food that too often ends up in a landfill, where they generate 14.5% of U.S. methane emissions annually. Methane is a greenhouse gas that warms the atmosphere many times faster than CO2, between 28 and 80 times faster, according to various estimates. Let's get ready for a sustainable holiday with WorldCentric. You can learn more about WorldCentric at WorldCentric, no dash, no space, WorldCentric.com. Welcome back, Erin, and thanks for joining us despite having a cold. How are you feeling today?
I'm doing okay. Thanks for having me back.
Well, hey, pleasure to have you. The last time you were on the show, SB 1383 had just taken effect. It was back in March. And there's a statewide goal of reducing organic landfill materials by 75% by 2025. Do you have a sense of how it's going? How's composting evolving in California?
Well, it's definitely been a buzz. The effort to reduce methane emissions is well underway, but we're far away from reaching our goal of 75%. By 2025, in my opinion. From what I gather, there's new collection programs. There are communities that are starting to participate that hadn't previously. More infrastructure is coming, but it's really slow. Mm-hmm. And really, the facilities that are permitted to accept mixed materials, right now, majority are just allowed to accept green waste and not food. Right. The shift that needs to happen is that the permitting process needs to accelerate where and actually start to accept more food if we're going to actually meet our goal or even attempt to get close in the next decade.
I've spent a lot of time in recent years in Santa Rosa, which is just up the road from where you are, and everybody composts. There's a robust composting infrastructure there. It sounds like there's not necessarily a lack of money in the rest of the state, but that there's just regulatory barriers to rapid implementation.
Yes, I would agree with that, that it's a slow process. To permit a compost site takes years. So all of these things have been underway, but have not kept up with the pace that we need to accept all the organic materials that are coming in. So really where it needs to expand is LA, where two-thirds of the population is. So you have such a dense urban area, and it's so sprawling, but we really need more infrastructure down there. We need education and outreach. We need people that are really focused on source separating and spreading that message.
Well, let's make take a moment to define composting here, because when we talk about composting, in these programs, we're talking about industrial composting. What's the difference between a home compost pile and an industrial compost pile?
The main difference with the home composting and industrial composting is industrial composting is a large scale facility that's able to handle all of the organic materials. And really, it's a controlled process that involves high heat. And that is, and it's meticulously managed by operators. There's a variety of systems, but in backyard composting, usually it's simply either a tumbler or a pile or something that's a little bit highly variable, where people are either putting their kitchen scraps or their yard trimmings, et cetera, into the pile and periodically turning it or watering it. Whereas industrial, it's a very dedicated time frame with regulatory involvement to manage all the emissions, and the finished product is also heavily tested and regulated as well.
And it gets to a significantly higher temperature, so is more effective on things like compostable fibers and plastics. And that's where World Compost comes in, obviously. You make a variety of compostable products. A lot of them are made from fiber, but you also have bioplastic cutlery. And in fact, I've composted some of those here at my house, and they break down. But I use industrial level temperatures on a loamy. We'll talk about that in a little bit. It's been interesting reading about the evolution of World-Centric's restaurant customers, which seem to me to be the hotbed or hot house where we're testing a lot of these ideas. And a lot of them are just setting up their own relationships with commercial haulers. A couple examples, Laney and Lou, which is a fair trade coffee and foods restaurant. They found one hauler locally to take their stuff. Another one, Mr. Fox Composting, set itself up to support restaurants. Is all of this a foundation for the kind of growth we were talking about within California of a composting infrastructure, or do we need a more systematic approach than this grassroots way?
A really interesting question, because a lot of restaurants are finding this niche with being more sustainable and attracting customers that way, and really inherently doing it for people and planet, just like our mission is at World Central. But it also takes profit, and that's the driver. And so the systematic change that you're talking about, like a mandate, something similar to SB 1383, is going to move the needle. And without that, all the restaurants that are less concerned about the environment likely won't ever make that shift or that change unless regulatory or legislation is in place. Although these businesses are very inspiring, I really think it's not common practice. Enough to make huge waves would be the mandates. And I mean, we have Vermont leading the charge, California, and now Washington State, as we know, all leading the charge with mandated organics collection. And what really would make the difference in my mind is the proper truth in labeling, standardization for acceptance. That's going to move the needle as well. So hopefully we can see some national guidance and some data that start to become available to really improve the circular economy.
There's also been a lot of conversation about the viability of bioplastic as a compostable item. And one company, Abel and Cole, just discontinued their plastic products. Do you see this as a retreat from fiber-based? Rather, is it a focus on fiber-based versus bioplastic that's happening? Or is it a retreat from bioplastic generally that we're seeing? And how does World-Centric think about this?
Well, really going forward, our product design and our research and development team is working on all cellulosic materials, because there's a number of reasons. I mean, the first is the barrier is that National Organic Program still doesn't allow bioplastic any type. They recognize it as synthetic feedstock. It's not acceptable for any industrial site that wants to sell a finished product as certified organic. Right. That's a huge limiting factor. There is a petition right now that BPI is working on to try to get that changed. So that's an interesting thing that I'll be watching, and maybe we can have a follow-up about that if it does change, because that would be a game changer for so many compost sites. I even recently did a survey amongst composters in California to try to find out who actually is accepting and processing any bioplastics. And the unanimous response I got was they wouldn't have a problem with it if the NOP didn't have that ban on acceptability.
What's the concern? Is it that there are still synthetic molecules in the resulting soil?
They classify the NOP, which is regulated by the USDA, is they classify bioplastics, PLA, for example, as synthetic because it's chemically modified. Mm-hmm. So they recognize that they just categorize it as synthetic. It's been that way since the 70s or 80s. It just has never evolved, changed as the industry has evolved and changed. But going back to fiber and cellulistic, I mean, we really have a push moving forward. We're coming out with fiber utensils, bamboo utensils, things that are the ag byproducts are focused in the future for sure. So I say agricultural byproducts like bagasse, which is the leftover residue after sugar is extracted from the sugar cane. Mm-hmm. But other materials are high interest to us because of less greenhouse gas from the production side, as well as much more inherently compostable because it'll look and feel earthy. It has that feeling that hopefully it'll be less confusing to consumers. Because I think that like bioplastics have gotten, it's just been a confusing topic for a lot of consumers because they see it looks and acts like regular petroleum plastic and they're unsure how to use it. So without that label or that truth in labeling that we've had, it's just been a challenge.
Well, and the thing is that labels, you have to make that rather complicated explanation clear that even though it is plastic, it is ultimately not a synthetic. It reverts to a natural state. Hard story to tell. And I don't think we have the answers yet. So what's your advice for somebody hosting a holiday event who wants to use compostable products? Should they hew towards plastic or stick with fiber at this point?
If you're in a community that where bioplastics are accepted, mm-hmm. And there's ways that you can find out, find a composter.com. I mean, you can find out who accepts it and where it's actually collected in your area. So if you're in an area that, but really, if you go with reusables, if you can, that's the most sustainable option that I would recommend. Mm-hmm. If you are hosting a party, I recently hosted a party this weekend and I had all fiber utensils, all fiber plates. I had all these materials that I knew my local compost or industrial composter will accept. And especially now we're eliminating PFAS and it's banned in so many states that the composters are not seeing any issues with accepting full fiber-based materials.
An important point. We've talked about PFAS on the show a number of times with World Centric and others. We're a lot more aware of the fact that they're there. You've prevented them from being in your fiber product. Do you see that as a general industry move, or is that something you're still just out on the leading edge of?
Well, all these regulations are going to come into place. So, for example, in California, it's going to start in January. So,
But we're not there yet.
We're not there yet, and so a lot of to meet the market demand, a lot of people have had to. Manufacturers of compostable products have had to shift. I think we are on the leading edge, we as in World Centric, because we're developing proprietary solution called Leaf Plus. I would love to tell you about, because it's exciting that we spent a lot of, we've been doing this since 2016, not on the R&D side, to develop a full plant-based solution that will act like an oil and grease barrier to PFAS. And it's really exciting. And yeah, are we leaders? I think so, because other fixes are out on the market, but we didn't go with the easy fix because we don't know if it'd be a regrettable replacement. And that's more of the issue I think we should talk about, is because we don't want to see if it's going to replace PFAS, then is it going to be a questionable material that's going to be
right. When do you expect to see this on the market? I'm sure you can't say a hard date, but is this something that we can expect to see in 2023?
Yes. I mean, we're especially in the states where it's mandatory or that it's regulated. So we have California, New York, and Washington all coming online next year food service ware providers are able to then sell or distribute product with intentionally added PFAS.
This is a great conversation. I'm going to take a quick commercial break. We're going to be right back to continue the conversation.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes.
Chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
We're back to continue talking with Erin Levine. She is the resource recovery manager at Compostable Packaging and Tableware Maker WorldCentric. So, Erin, one of the things that we've recently been doing with our composting is using the Lomi home composter. It's a desk or a countertop appliance, and it reaches temperatures that can, let's just say, mimic industrial composting. And that's what I've been using because I don't have a lot of food waste for bioplastics and other hard compostables, you know, things that would require industrial composting. I know that WorldCentric is Lomi approved, or at least some of its products are. How are you guys thinking about the potential for devices like that to fill in gaps in the composting infrastructure?
Yeah, we find it fascinating. We find that it could bridge the gap when people don't have access to commercial compost collection. Mm-hmm. That are interested in really reducing their food waste and processing it. We see a place for it. We do have 6 products that are Lomi approved. We went through the process. We are in process of getting more products tested and hopefully approved. And I would hope to see them grow where we can actually implement this on a larger scale, like in a restaurant or a hotel, et cetera. People that use a lot of our food service ware, I think it'd be a great technology and one way that make it more accessible for businesses and homeowners alike to participate with organics collection.
Well, and in fact, Brad Peterson was on the their founder was on the show just a couple of weeks ago, and did say they're beginning to work on, or they're somewhere in the process of working on commercial sized Lomi, and that's a really interesting idea that even an individual restaurant will be able to begin to process its own material and output a valuable product, soil. This points to a different shape for the economy. We tend to think of everything distributed from the center and then processed back at the center, but it sounds like we might end up with a highly diversified solution to composting overall. When you sit around and talk about the future of the composting infrastructure, how do you describe it amongst yourselves?
Boy, that's a tough one, Mitch. Let's see. How do we describe the future? In my mind, I'm looking at things like the EPR bills, which are the producer responsibility, that will really fund more infrastructure for composting, education and outreach. And then more recently, I'm looking at things like the bipartisan infrastructure law, which will provide $100 million. This is from the EPA recently. It's really exciting, but $100 million in new infrastructure that will be available. So I'm looking at things like that, thinking the expansion is promising. It's on the horizon. It's been recognized. It's more in the everyday conversation because there's a huge gap and a huge need.
Do you imagine that being, when you talk about EPR, extended producer responsibility laws, that is a very centralized way of thinking about it. But you know what we're starting to see is solutions like Lomi as one layer in a very complex cake of composting infrastructure. And is the assumption that you guys make that it will be fairly centralized or fairly distributed? Do you have a sense of it going one way or the other, or is it just simply going to be a mix?
It's a really good question. I think it probably would be a mix. Mm-hmm. Based on conversations I have with like the Composting Package Collaborative and other industry groups I'm a part of, I definitely think there's a healthy mix of the two and not just a centralized way of approach. Or I think it'll be more systematic, like you were saying from the beginning, with these mandates and then hopefully with infrastructure growing and then hopefully with other technology coming out, innovative ways to think about minimizing your any output.
Well, you know, I want to turn to the article that you contributed, and thank you. It's ideas for having a waste-free holiday, and we are headed into the most wasteful period of the year. Food waste is a huge issue, and you had a number of suggestions about how to reduce it. One of them was to use the food guesstimator, which is you use for meal planning, and ultimately you would end up with less waste as a result of better planning. Tell us about food guesstimator and how you use it.
Well, I find it to be a really great resource. I mean, they have, it really allows flexibility for choosing between big eaters, small eaters. I have kids, so that's really important to me, because when you plan a meal, you have to calculate, okay, who's going to eat what? And so I like the flexibility and the options that you have. And also you get to choose an option for a quantity of leftover meals that you want. So if you want to plan.
Really?
Yeah. I find it interesting that so many people enjoy leftovers. So it gives you that option. And then they even give you recipe ideas. I find it to be very user-friendly. You can customize it. I really enjoy it.
So how do you reduce your food waste generally? I mean, you plan better, but what do you do with what's left over at your house after a meal?
Right. You said meal plan. That's number one. Shopping list. But I try to avoid shopping when I'm hungry to avoid any impulse buying. And then I try to just, for a holiday specifically, I try to just kind of go with what I know. Also, I feel like if you try a new recipe, might not be the exact right time. It might result in more food waste. So kind of my standby menu items. I also, let's see, if we have, I try not to have anything that has excess packaging. Mm-hmm. Another thing just to mention, but I'm a huge fan of the freezer. So if I have something that I know that I won't consume that is able to be frozen, why not use it? That's your friend. Or if there's leftovers and I know that I make an extra batch, I automatically put it in the freezer and label it so I don't forget about it.
Do you also ask your guests to do a little sorting after the meal's over? Do you get them to put the food waste into one bin and the compostables or the throwaways into others?
Yes. People that come to my house know where the compost goes and where all the leftover goes. I mean, I have chickens, so I automatically send some to my chickens if it's really a high quality food that they would enjoy. And then next would be if it's not a leftover item that I could put in the fridge, then yes, I have a compost built right into my island and I just dispose of it right there.
So you don't have to edit your trash after the holidays. We do at my house.
No, I don't. People know when they come to my house how to properly source separate their organic materials, that's for sure.
Well, you know, if I lived in Sonoma County, that would be the case. It isn't up here in Pierce County, Washington. Now, another point you made about preparing a sustainable meal is that you should shop locally. But this is also sort of the downtime for a lot of CSAs and local produce. So how do you suggest finding local produce at this time of the year? And tell us how you use Cook with the Seasons, which is an interesting site that you showed.
So Cook with the Seasons provides a monthly guide to what produce is actually in season. So you can just look at it before you go shopping anywhere. Just make sure that you are buying things that are in season. Growing your own, it's the safest bet. But if that's not feasible for you, then a local farmer's market, usually something that you can source locally. It's a challenging one. This time of the year is not 100% desirable for all this fresh material, like you're saying. So,
and yet, of course, it's a harvest festival. So, yeah, it makes sense that we should be prepared for it. Now, the other thing that you talked about was plant-centric recipes, and you use Planted 365 as a source of recipes. What are some of your favorites? What do you recommend that people try this year?
Okay, let's see. Well, first of all, with that, Planted 365, they offer full holiday menu planning that can be vegan, which is interesting. So you can actually plan your entire meal and they give you recipes. And so it's a bundle, which is really helpful and just a one-stop shop kind of idea. They don't skip on the flavor or creativity on that either. It's all very interesting food. Let's see. For me, it's all about the sides when it comes to holiday. That's what I live for. I've tried the caramelized onion gravy. I mean, it's so sweet, delicious. And that's one of my go-to. And I love anything with mushrooms. So I'm just a mushroom fiend. And I feel like that's a really good replacement for a lot of the heavier meat items.
So after the meal, and when you have leftover food, you made a number of suggestions about what to do with it, including sending it to food banks or sending it to local farms for use as feed. How do you find those resources? What's your suggestion for somebody who's at home thinking, okay, I would love to give this to a food bank, but how do I do that? Do I need to wrap it? Do I need, you know, how do I contact them and so forth?
Right. So I gave a resource about checking the local food bank. Mm-hmm. Some don't accept it, of course, and they accept different varieties of edible food. It's very, very clear. So local food bank drop-off, community compost, if you don't have access to it, is another way. Mm-hmm. You don't want to trash it, and it's not something that is truly edible. There's another really interesting app that I learned about recently called Too Good To Go.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That one, yeah, it's just a mobile app that connects restaurants or any store that have unsold but surplus food to customers who can actually buy food. So it's a very interesting app that can connect people.
And with regard to getting it to a farm for use as feed, would one of the best ways to do that be contact your CSA and see whether or not they have farmers who are looking for that kind of contribution?
I imagine so. I've never done it because I don't have a problem with it, so I can't exactly speak to it. I'm sorry.
Well, and of course, in Roanoke Park, you can compost everything, so it's not like you have the problem. So, well, yeah. You know, the last thing I wanted to ask about is World Centric has always been giving 25% of its profits to various donation programs, and I'm wondering what your 2023 target projects are. And can you tell us how our listeners can follow along with what you're doing?
Absolutely. Well, each year we have this goal for our giving program is to support the most vulnerable communities, mm-hmm. places that are experiencing environmental degradation. And we really think that climate change and extreme poverty are interlinked, and we can't solve one without addressing the other. So in 2023, we really expect to distribute close to $4 million, double what we did this year, in donations to fund grassroots organizations to the front lines of the work I described. So this includes expanding our support of community-managed restoration efforts in Haiti, women-led economic empowerment programs in Zambia, and then also indigenous land rights in the Amazon, and a lot more.
Well, it's going to be fun to watch how you guys continue to do that. It's always inspiring to see a company make such a deep investment in society.
And if any of your listeners want to learn more about our impact or giving program, they can visit worldcentric.com. And we have a whole section on our impact and our giving and how you can actually support any of our grassroots giving efforts.
Erin, I want to thank you for taking time with us today and have a happy holiday.
Thank you so much.
We've been speaking with Erin Levine. She is the resource recovery manager at World Centric, a maker of compostable packaging and tableware based in Roanoke Park, California. Check out the holiday waste reduction ideas shared in Erin's Earth 911 article, Tips for Planning a Sustainable Holiday Meal. And look for a link in the article that accompanies this podcast to find that for yourself. The evolution of composting, recycling, and reuse options is starting to bend society towards sustainability, but we still have a long way to go to make the circular economy, one in which everything is reused, a convenient option for communities around the country and around the world, because this is a problem that we don't just solve here in the United States. We have to solve for everybody, and we have to do it in a variety of ways to fit into the different cultures and communities where we need to be reusing instead of extracting virgin materials and then just throwing them away after one or two uses. California is going to be reporting on its composting progress in early 2023, and we'll revisit how SB 1383 is going with Erin when that data is available. I hope you'll take a few minutes to share this program with your friends, family, neighbors, and coworkers, anybody who you think would benefit from learning about how composting can be improved or how they can reduce waste during the holiday season. Folks, you all are the sustainability amplifiers that spread the ideas that we collect here on the show. So please let people know that they can find Sustainability in Your Ear on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Audible, and other fine purveyors of podcast goodness. We would certainly appreciate any support you can give us. Share the program, get the word out there. More ideas means less waste. I'm Mitch Ratcliffe. We'll be back with another innovator interview soon. In the meantime, folks, take care of yourself, take care of one another, and let's all take care of this beautiful planet of ours. Have a green day.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.